Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Well, thank you guys for that nice introduction. And Mr. Larry Weissoon, guess what? Larry's with us as he's been the past almost 19 years every week. Larry, good morning to you, sir.
Well, top of the morning to you, Luke. And we want to thank everybody that came out to visit with us last week here in Segalville. I really appreciate all the folks and our host as well, too, as Dash for Cash. And I tell you what, that was an absolutely fantastic time. Now, before we get any farther, I need to thank DFC Conservation Education, Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, which we've been able to put to good use here lately.
You bet.
The Stealth Vision, I'll tell you what, Stealth Vision is one of the most innovative companies there is when it comes to optics and the optics that they've got. And there's a few things down the pike I think going to really interest a lot of other people. And then, of course, Vineyard Max. We put Vineyard Max to absolutely great use there, and a little bit farther west from where you live, and there on a couple other places not too far from where you live. And of course, I was hunting a lot this year. I am hunting a lot this year with my Taurus handguns. I've got a 454 Katsu that I dearly love, and a little bit with Mossberg rifles. But I'll tell you what, it's a great time. Now, if you can remember, I'm sure a lot of folks will not remember this, but for years and years and years, until I guess about the 1970s, somewhere along into there, when they had the change in hunting season. But November 16th was always the opener for the regular whitetail deer season. Back, I can remember too, back when we didn't have an archery season. Mm-hmm. So November 16th was a big day when it came to particularly in Texas.
It was.
I'm sure the same is true in some of these other states, you know, as well, too, where they had a longstanding opening date.
It was. I was trying to remember. I was thinking until we talked before our visit here on the radio, I was thinking it was mid-November. I couldn't remember the exact date, but it was. It was the 16th. I remember my dad taking me to the Red River County Courthouse back before the deer season would open, and it seemed like it was called a permit back in those days. It cost like $4 or $5, Larry, something like that. It wasn't a license like we get today. You know, it was, I think they called it a permit. I don't remember really, but I remember going into the courthouse. There was no Walmarts or.
Oh, no, you're right. You had to go to the courthouse to get them. I can remember too, somewhere I've even got a copy, but I think my license back then, y'all, we had deer. There were very few deer up in y'all's part of the country, so I think it was called a permit. But we didn't have a whole lot of deer. But I remember that my exempt license, because I was less than 17 years old, 18 years old, whatever it was, cost a quarter. And, of course, I had a lot of money back then.
It was.
I mean, that was the exempt license that you had to have, regardless of how old you were. If you were over that age, then you needed to have a regular hunting license. I want to say it may have cost like $1.25 or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much.
Of course, we're looking. I'm looking back. Oh my gosh, 60 years. So
years.
Looking back, I doubt seriously if we could have come up with $5, my dad, or if he would have loosed $5 for a permit. You're probably right. It was probably like an exempt thing for me. But I'm quite sure. No way we'd have spent $5 on a permit. Probably a quarter. Yeah. But yeah, so times have really, really changed, Larry. Something that I've been working on, I'm about to finish an article for a magazine that is, it's about, they let me write about whatever I want to, but it's for the winter, perfect, winter edition, you know. So I've got actually three articles, and I'm wrapping up the last one. I thought, what am I going to write about? They want it to be related to winter, cold, you know, the winter season. So a few years ago on a friend's place, I found an old oak that still, as oaks go and as humans go, me and that oak are about in the same ballpark. You know, the oak's been around a long time as oaks go, hundreds of years. And old Luke's been around a long time as humans go. So anyway, I took a picture of it, some good pictures of the oak. It's a huge oak, and it's still, you know, it's still alive, but it, the things that that oak has seen, I started looking around, Larry, and it's on the edge of what used to be a field. You can tell it was, at one time, it's grown up with some smaller, you know, saplings and stuff, but it used to be a field that people planted. I know it was. And I found the remnants of an old well, and then some big stones that were, I'm thinking, were the foundation of probably a home there.
Oh, yes, sir.
You
right.
know, way back. And but in the article, I was talking about that oak. I let the oak do some of the talking. You know, like I'm there, and it's almost as though the oak is talking to me. Well, the tree, what did it see? It probably saw a Civil War veteran soldier, you know, could it, very
yes,
easily. It'd been been around a long time before that period. There's no telling what that oak had seen. Probably seen some Indians, you know, using it for cover, hunting deer back in the day.
Exactly. Or picking up acorns from underneath it, you know, kind
yes,
of thing.
Yeah, making flour out of them, right? Or meal,
yes,
or whatever. Yeah. Things that you encounter in the woods like that, and I know back where you were raised, back in southeast Texas, I call it, you were telling me about some oaks that were hundreds of years. I don't know how old this oak is, but I know it's got to be 250, 300 years old anyway. But some of them even older than that, right?
Absolutely. I've got on my property that I have there in Colorado County, it's west of Houston quite mm-hmm. a way. But there we have some live oak trees that when I was a little kid, for somebody to try to reach around that tree, it took my dad and two of his brothers to reach around the trunk of the tree. Well, those trees, thank God, are still there. And I, of course, I'm now in my 70s, and I can remember those trees when I was a little bitty kid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their limbs kind of went all the way to the ground, and I remember crawling up in those trees, that tree, and playing Tarzan, trying to jump from one limb to the next kind of thing. And, you know, there's no telling what those trees have seen when you get right down to it. I should have them, you know, sent them aged by somebody, but mm-hmm. no doubt those trees are, like you say, they're 300-400 years old, and probably even older than that. And you think about that, and, you know, we're at 2000, we're talking about the 1600s. Well, you know, the Spaniards didn't even come over here until the 1500s.
Mm-hmm.
Settlers didn't come over until, you know, really in number until, you know, shoot, late in the 1600s kind of thing in some of those areas. And back to that point, there were still, even up in your part of the country, and particularly down in ours, there were still some buffalo that were roaming, mm-hmm. you know, down into the lower coastal areas in certain times. And you think about that, and kind of sit there, and it would be so interesting to truly have that tree tell the story, you know, because you know it's seen a tremendous change in the last few years. But when you look at it from the time when it was an acorn and started growing, oh my gosh, you know, the stories it could tell, if it was some way that it can convey those to you. And sometimes I think there is, if you just sit there and let your mind run free, it's amazing what you can come up with, what that tree may be trying to tell you.
You know, you nailed it, because I was back up there actually just last week hunting. It's up on our buddy Jeff Rice's place. And I stopped there at that tree. And I probably spent 10 minutes there. And I was just, just kind of, there's something about being out in the, you will have different, I'm not trying to get all mystical on us here, but you'll have different insights. Let's put it that way. When you're out away from, hate to say it, but away from traffic, people, cell phones, all that kind of stuff. If you just kind of open up, it's almost like that old tree was talking to me. That might sound a little mystical, and obviously the tree didn't talk to me. but some of it's imagination, but there's no telling. I've written in the article so far about the old tree telling about the lower branch. There's a big knurl there now. And you can tell where there used to be a limbs hanging out. He said, yeah, back right here, the settlers' kids used to swing on me right here. And you know they did. I mean, it's obvious there's a homestead there. That was the biggest tree they had back in the day. So, I would give a lot to really know that kind of history. But that's kind of stuff that's kind of fun to think about, and definitely fun to write about, Larry. We've got a lot more, man. Well, this is when the season used to open. Well, the rifle season's been open a couple of weeks now. Prime time. The weather's cool. Don't have to worry about keeping our meat cold when we shoot a deer or a hog, whatever. It's hunting season, Larry. I'd say right now it's prime hunting season.
It is prime hunting season, and you're right. That's probably one of the reasons why that hunting season used to open more in the middle part of November than they did earlier, is because the animals, there were cooler nights and the animals could hang out a little bit. Didn't have to worry so much about the meat being spoiled. But then I'm sure that had a bearing as to why November the 16th was the opening date for a long, long time. But back then there weren't a whole lot of deer, and now there are lots of deer everywhere. But you're right. Right now is a prime time to be out hunting across the country. If the rut's not going on, it's about to kick off. But I got a feeling from years of experience being able to hunt other states as well, too, that the breeding season is underway right now. So if you got time, and even if you got to take time, get out there in the woods, and it's a great time to go hunting. But just like you said about the old oak there, it's just, you find a spot like that, just kind of sit there and kind of reflect upon what that oak tree might have seen. And you might be surprised. There may be something mystical about it, or magical, but I got a feeling you're going to learn a little something about that oak tree when you do.
That's true, Larry. I think if more people did what you just said, I think there would be a whole lot less time sitting on the couch of a psychiatrist across the country. I really do. It's great therapy.
I agree.
Yeah, great therapy. Larry, thanks for being with me. You were about to embark. Well, we're still in year 19 that you and I have been doing our campfire talk every week together. By golly, and like that old oak tree, let's keep this going a long time. What do you say?
That's the plan.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is level because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.
Folks, I want to introduce you to Vineyard Max. Now, this is an awesome deer attractant, a food attractant that's made with hammer-milled grape skin, dried hammer-milled grape skins. It has a mixture of rice bran and also corn chops. Very effective. Deer can smell the scent of grapes from a long way, and it brings them in. I've used it in West Texas out with Larry Wysoon, and we were out there where deer are not even exposed to grapes, and they came right in. Also, Vineyard Max has a very good line of game and fish feeders. Check them out online, vineyardmax.net. Friends, I want to tell you about an awesome camping destination, Wind Point Park on Lake Tewakety. It's over on the far east side, kind of the northeast side of the lake. It's a pristine park. you can go there and view, I think they estimated a couple of hundred deer on that couple of hundred acres there. Cabins, beautiful RV park, fishing piers, docks. It's got everything you'd want in an outdoor destination. Check them out online at winpointparktx.com.